So we do have a pretty big choir today, but I could tell that I could hear all the voices. It was the floor is a good thing. It's a good thing. Well, the scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning is one that many of you, if not all, have probably heard at one time or another. The words that I'm about to read are from Jesus's first public act presented in the gospel according to Matthew. The section I will be reading is titled The Sermon on the Mount. So essentially, I'm going to be preaching a sermon on a sermon. Now, these words from Jesus, they are not simple, and they are not gentle. Jesus, you see, has a tendency to be radical in his teaching, turning cultural and social norms on their head, calling out reckless injustice. But Jesus is also radical when he preaches and teaches about grace and about hope and about love. So hear now the gospel according to Matthew, beginning in chapter 5 with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Let us pray. God of goodness and God of wisdom, I ask that the wisdom of your Spirit may intercede. May the words that come from me be transformed to the words of that Spirit. I pray that the voices that might seek to distract us from your call on our lives would be silenced, that your voice would reign supreme not only in our hearts, but in our minds. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Now, depending on the translation of the Bible that you're reading, this passage could be incredibly different. Some translations you might know read, "Happy are those who mourn." One translation changes it completely by writing, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule." A word, we all know, can change the whole meaning of a passage, especially in Scripture. And the word that's used here most often for blessed is blessed. Now in Greek, it's makarios. It means blessed or happy, or my preference, it can mean honored, to be honored. If we use the word happy, it could end up reading as a collection of pious platitudes. Jesus is calling attention, though, to where God places honor, blessing, where honor is needed in our daily living and in our call to serve as disciples. So honored are the meek, the merciful, honored. Now, at the time this text was written, to be honored was dependent on where you came from. If you were connected to a family of great wealth, of great connection, then you were honored. This honor was dependent on who you were born to, on your race, on your social position. If you didn't have those strong connections with those of great wealth and status, then you were no one, and you were treated as no one. It didn't matter how hard you worked or how talented or skilled you were. It only mattered who you were from. Thus, Jesus turns society on its head and speaks directly against one of the most important societal and cultural norms. The poor, the grieving, the meek, the hungry and thirsty for justice, the peacemakers and the persecuted, they are the ones that are to be honored. These descriptions, not prescriptions, can be interpreted in different ways, but each of them describe a person or a group of people who were not honored. They were not happy. They were not blessed. The ones Jesus speaks of honoring have been ridiculed, oppressed, ignored. They are the ones seen as weak by the greedy and the powerful. They are the ones who live on the margins, the ones who don't have any privilege to fall back on. They are the ones Jesus, our Christ, honors, as God honors all of creation. Lance Pape is a professor of homiletics, and I like the way he points out this portion of Jesus' sermon, listing descriptions, again, not prescriptions. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. But it's because Jesus isn't saying, you bless the meek, but he is describing with immense importance what the kingdom of God is to look like and be like. Jesus is describing what is coming, what is on the way, what is already here. Now, we hear a lot about this phrase, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. We remember that this kingdom of God, what that means is that God reigns, that God's rule and God's presence is here and is now. Jesus is revealing to the disciples, to us, how God intends all of God's creation to live and to act and to be. So this description that Jesus lays out before us, it's not what we have built here on earth, is it? Because Pape further points out, blessed are the meek, Jesus says, but in our world, the meek don't get the land. They get left holding the worthless beads. Blessed are the merciful, says Jesus. But in our world, mourning may be tolerated for a while, but soon we will ask you to pull yourself together and to move on. Blessed are the pure in heart, says Jesus. But in our world, such people are dismissed as hopelessly naive. Blessed are the peacemakers, says Jesus. But in our world, those who pursue peace risk having their patriotism called into question. Jesus, in a way, is protesting. His words are standing up against the world order, standing up against what our culture has deemed worthy of honor. So this word blessing, honor, doesn't make sense to our culture. A blessing from God is not rooted in financial wealth, health, or status. Being blessed by God, honored by God, is not defined by receiving some reward that makes us happy. The focus of God's blessing, it isn't just about you or me. It's about this sheer gift of grace that God has bestowed upon God's people, every single person, a people honored for who they are as a child of God, not because of what they've done or what they've earned or who they were born to. Like with the notion of salvation, we don't have any power to save anyone. We do not determine who is honored and who is not. God does that. And Jesus is reminding us of that. I love how Sarah Brewer, a preacher and writer, puts it. She says, these verses don't show Jesus as a pop psychologist telling people how to be happy. Rather, they show Jesus giving honor to those who are pushed out to the margins of their culture. Jesus is concerned with our happiness and our joy, but Jesus is reaching into the depth of who we are as created and loved beings. Jesus is seeking to reveal a deeper joy and honor that exists beyond this world, to a new world, to a new kingdom. Jesus is pointing out the places in this earthly kingdom where we need to do better. When we lash out in anger because someone disagrees with our viewpoint, we're not honoring the other. When we lessen and patronize the sincere and the immensely difficult act of someone standing up for what they believe, we are not honoring the other. When we only care what happens to us and trivialize the broken and the breaking livelihoods of our neighbors, we are not honoring the other. Jesus was speaking to those that lived 2,000 years ago who experienced such dishonor as described here. But I also obviously believe Jesus is speaking to us today. The dishonor continues. Jesus is offering a radical vision of what God's kingdom looks like, of what creation brought back to what God intended looks like. This kingdom perspective requires a lot of work from us, requires pondering the importance of these descriptions of honoring the dishonored. It grants us then the freedom to see the world differently, to work in this world differently. It requires hearing the voices of those who experience dishonor in a way that none of us have ever experienced. But we all face it, don't we? Every single one of us faces the reality of dishonor, of what seems the opposite of blessedness in our lives. But when we gather as a people of faith, as a community who is bound by the promises of grace and mercy, we find ourselves stuck in this tension between the will be and the is. Now the is, the now, can seem a constant dishonoring of life. Yet the will be, what is to come, this vision that Jesus sets before us, it's a place where every life is honored. And the thing about Jesus, about these words that we turn to in Scripture week in and week out, is that the will be is actually right now. These descriptions of what God intends, a world where the dishonored are honored, it ushers in a complete disorientation of what is expected. We kind of expect the world to hate and dishonor, but Jesus says no. With God, you can expect the unexpected at every turn. And we as a people of faith see with different eyes. We see and experience the beauty of an unexpected love of God in this place. This church, a place full of broken people. It is a place where hope resounds in the face of hopelessness. Of a hopeless world where hopelessness seems to reign supreme, but hope gushes up and it guides us, it inspires us, it encourages us to go out and honor the dishonored at every point we can. I wanted to share a story with you today where I really truly witnessed that unexpected honor, that unexpected love that I think Jesus is talking about here. On the last day of mission trip I led to Peru, our group was a very small group. We were only about 4 people. Traveled to a school for disabled children that was located about 2 hours outside the city of Iquitos. Iquitos is kind of a major city. It's at the mouth of the Amazon River. But we were 2 hours outside and we arrived at this school to smiles and hugs and laughter. The children that we had met that day had all different kinds of disabilities. We learned that without this school, those children would have nothing. These children were seen as a burden, as outcasts, as a drain. They were seen as dishonorable in this community. But upon meeting them, we found they were truly gifted in the ability to welcome strangers. Once everyone was seated, the principal of the school, she greeted us. She told us that we were welcome there today as family, that this was our home. They were grateful we'd come. Several boys and girls then performed a traditional dance for us to teach us a little bit about their culture. It caused the whole room to erupt in laughter and applause. The joy was contagious. We then had two of the teachers teach a Bible lesson that we had brought based on the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. A lesson in hospitality, a reminder that God loves us, that we are called to love one another. After the lesson, we washed the hands of each child. I had one of the teachers lead this part. She is their teacher. She is their connection. She is their leader. And as she was washing each child's hand, she would say to them, God loves you. Dios te ama. I watched as this teacher took each set of hands that came to her. She held them in hers. She lovingly dipped them in this basin of soapy water, looked into the eyes of each child, saying, Dios te ama. Some of the children would say it back to her. Some would just grin. Some would just look down at their hands. One little boy came up to have his hands washed, and I noticed the teacher didn't say anything, but she called another one over who signed to them, God loves you. The little boy was deaf and mute, as were a couple of the other children, so we learned how to say God loves you by signing. It was time then for the last child to come and have his hands washed. He could not walk. He also never stayed still the entire time we were there, constantly moving his head and his hands, never settling. So he was carried by a teacher. She held him the entire time we were there. This was not a small child. She held him the whole time we were there. I watched her as she held him. I was waiting for the moment of impatience, of fatigue. But they never came, just care. She carried him over to me. His hands had been washed. They were bent. They were constantly moving. As I dried his hands off carefully, I held them. And for a brief moment, he looked at me and I said, Dios te ama. For the slightest moment, he was still. He looked back at me, and he was still. He honored me. I honored him. This boy who was dishonored in this community, this boy seen as an outcast. God's power of blessing and honor, they are continuously breaking through these dishonorable parts of our world. The places where some are honored, but some are not. As a people of faith, a people who believe in this Jesus who came and turned everything on its head, we are called to live into that radical way of life. A life where all are honored, where all are blessed. This is the type of kingdom that God ushers in and provides glimpses to us day in and day out. But we are honored. All are honored. And praise be to God that we are. Amen.